Welcome in the latest episode of that SEC podcast brought to you by Twisted Tea and my bookie. I'm your host, Mike Bradley. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What's up, yo, TSC Hober?
Hey, babe, what's going on?
Hey, how about it? Space Mountain, he's been in here since 3:30. I don't know if he's still in here, but he was first.
Space Mountain, good job, brother. That's dedication. I tell Mike, I slid in here like 5 minutes ago, you know. I almost forgot. I'm down to my last two beers, so we're going to have to make a run.
Yeah. So how is the old duplex doing there, Shane?
Hey, we're hanging in there, son. We got everything situated. The internet went down for a little bit today. We got some excavating going on outside, and thought I was like, well, you better fire this thing up. And finally, them boys showed up about an hour before showtime, and they got me up. So we're in good shape.
Space Mountain, he's still here. Credit. Oh, man. We got to send that man more in the koozie. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. That's dedication right there, brother. I love it. Hey, how was your day? I've been trying. I'm not going to lie, man. I've been super crazy busy. Mm-hmm. Haven't really had an opportunity to see some of the storylines unfolding today. Is there anything that I missed out there, brother?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to recap all that. Portal's gone crazy. We're finally starting to get commitments out of the portal. Mm-hmm. As Michael Riley, he's a big Florida fan, he says, hey, Bailey's got zero portal commits. Bold strategy coming off 5-7, but they're working their time there. So we'll get into that. Shane, I did have a couple more things on the schedule I wanted to hit on, and we got mailbag questions.
Yeah.
A couple great ones here, Shane. So you ready to do a little news questionnaire schedule talk here?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. So this what I saw, and this is not an official mailbag question, Shane, but I saw this. They were asking it on Fine Bob's show, and I just thought this was such a great question, and it goes on the scheduling narrative here. If you could go to one SEC game next year, only one, now that we've seen the schedules, we know the breakdown, and I already have one on my list. I can go first if you want, or you could go first if there's just one game on the SEC slate. And I say, let's keep it to conference games. There's some good non-conference games, but if you could just pick one conference game that you could attend over any other, what's that going to be for next season?
Mike, why do I got to narrow it down to one? Because that
puts it above all the others.
But you know me, Mike. I got more than one. I mean, there's a personal one to me, and then there's the one that I ultimately, if I had to go and pick one, I guess I do have one. Give me Texas. Give me Texas A&M. Ooh. I just think, you know, for so many years, these boys haven't got to play, and building up for that rivalry, it's gonna be epic. So That's one, like, if I had to choose one game being played this year that it's a must attend for me, yeah, give me Texas A&M and Texas.
Yeah.
You see how I flipped it? I did it.
Shane, I'm not going to lie. I saw, you know, after the schedule release, there was even a Texas fan. I quote tweeted him or whatever, and he's making fun of the way we did the schedule breakdown and look at A&M, like, way better. Like, my goodness, we're fighting over the schedule graphics, Shane. Yeah. That's how heated this rivalry is. We need it on the field. So that's an excellent answer, and mine is very close to the same. I'm going Oklahoma, Texas, in Dallas at the Texas State Fair. First time as SEC opponents here. I think that's the one, but there are no wrong answers. So I'm kind of curious to see what other people in the mentions, what they may be saying. But
the fair's there too, you know. I mean, that's why
it's like a whole weekend event, you know, where you
absolutely
could be getting hit. Well, they won't judge you too bad in the SEC, you know, if it's say Georgia at Bama, if you get drunk Friday, Saturday, Sunday, people may let that slide. At the Texas State Fair, I think it's like you almost have to be wasted the entire time.
Absolutely, man. I mean, we'll have fried Snicker bars and wax beer and good football. I'm all in, brother.
Right.
And I could convince the family to go. Be like, I'm going to lead with the fair. Like, what would you think about going to the Texas State Fair? Oh, by the way, they're playing a football game there.
All right, so I wanted to ask you this, Shane. Biggest winners from the SEC schedule release. I already came prepared with my list, so we'll just go off of mine, and you let me know if you agree or disagree with my top five winners from the SEC schedule release. How's that sound?
Yeah, now, this top five, is it in order are you just picking these top five, you see what I'm saying?
No, in order. I got a number one ready to go. Or I can go number five. I can count down if you want.
Yeah, let's go worse. Let's go five first.
Okay. Even number five is a great schedule. You know what I mean?
Out of 16, yeah.
Right. So here we go. I'm going side again here, ooh. Shane. Texas A&M, number five.
Look at that.
And I love this schedule, Shane, because, again, I think all the away games are winnable.
Yeah.
You get Texas at home. LSU at home, Mizzou, Red Hot Mizzou at home. Texas A&M is a top five winner with the schedule release, in my opinion. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm looking at this one. A lot of tough games, but you got them at home. That is very, very important there. And
no back-to-back road games either.
Yeah, no. I mean, that you mentioned it. And I'm looking at the away games. Other than, I mean, I guess you could – you know, you could say Arkansas is technically an away game, but we all know it's a home game. And you're looking pretty, man. Florida, you're looking at Florida, Mississippi State, Auburn, or South Carolina on the road. Mm-hmm. I like your chances of potentially winning all those games.
And if you're a fan, Shane, if you don't have tickets right now to Texas A&M, I don't work for Texas A&M, Shane, but my goodness, how could you not with Notre Dame on the schedule, Mizzou, LSU, Texas? I mean, what a slate. And these are just a few of the games you're getting at home. You know what?
Yeah, this is when you get your donations for your seats. You know what I'm saying? Mike is the true 12th man here selling them tickets.
Well, Billy Lucci has promised us a sideline pass to any game we want to go. So I gotta sell this university for him. You know what?
I hear you. And, man, this would be an awesome one. I bet this would be a tough one to get on the side of the field with that Texas game, brother. But that's on my list. November 30th, right there at the very end.
Yeah.
That not only do you think – I think you nailed it with this schedule, but it ends with a damn home run.
All right, how about number four, Shane? Mizzou. You knew Mizzou was going to be on this list. You got some – you know, four – cupcakes, let's call it what it is, right out the gate, all at home.
Yeah.
Oklahoma at home. You know, I get it. It looks a little tougher than I think it really is because UMass, I don't know why that's on the road, but it is. Whereas in South Carolina, Mississippi State, back-to-back away games. But when you start going down these SEC schedules, Shane, again, there is no such thing as an easy SEC schedule, but – hell, we'll get to Florida here in a minute. We'll get to Georgia. You know, give me this one 10 out of 10 over some of the other SEC slates we got.
Mike, I would make an argument this is number one. The reason I know you're looking at A&M, Alabama, Oklahoma, especially those two back-to-back. But if you look at between right before A&M, they got a bye week. Right after Alabama, they have a bye week. Going into the Oklahoma game, they've got opportunities here to get healthy and get back on track if they fall off path here. So I think I made a joke online, man. The stars are lining up for Mizzou. You know, I was all in this year, and I'm looking at this schedule, and they have a real opportunity to make some noise next year.
Now, how about number three on my list, Shane? Oklahoma. I love this schedule too, with the four games right off the bat, all at home. It is Tennessee. You get your first SEC game at home, all the fanfare that's going to go with that. Again, you get Bama at home.
Yeah.
You get South Carolina at home. You know, the thing here that kind of kills you, and who knows how this is going to play out in the future, Shane, but with the neutral site game of Texas, I guess that technically counts as a home game this year for Oklahoma. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have an additional SEC game in Norman. But I love this schedule. Again, all the road games are very difficult. All road games in the SEC basically are difficult. but some winnable ones too, I think, for Oklahoma. I really like this schedule for the Sooners.
Yeah, I do too, especially the start of the season. Gives them an opportunity to kind of get their feet wet, but it does close out strong, man. You're looking at Mizzou, Alabama, LSU. These are all three teams that maybe at the start of the season are top 12 in the college football playoff run. So, yeah, you start out easy, but it ends pretty rough there.
Yeah, well, you know where it ain't so bad, Shane? Texas, number two on the list. And maybe I've come around to it, Shane. I've seen all the mentions. You were right there with it, too. What the hell are we doing? We're giving a break to Texas. And they think they own the league already. They're going to think they're going to own it, Shane. Yeah. If they could beat Georgia at home and Florida at home and Oklahoma on the neutral field, and by goodness, they better not beat A&M, or we'll never hear the end of it from Longhorn fans about how they own the Aggies. But you know, there are a lot of great games on this schedule. The vast majority of them are at home here, at least in the conference or the neutral site there, of course, with Oklahoma. But SEC seemed to do Texas some real favors here. I think they want the Longhorns to be relevant year one in the conference, don't you think?
Yeah, they may have used this as a selling tool to get them over here. You know, it's like, hey, man, this is what we're gonna let you do when you start the season. All right, I'll go on that schedule. But you know what I don't see on the schedule, Mike? I don't see an Alabama. I don't see an LSU. I don't see an Ole Miss, Mizzou, Tennessee. There's some heavy hitters that somehow found a way to not make their way into the Texas schedule here. So, yes, I do think Texas got off a little bit easy here to start this year. But guess what, brother? You're probably getting the opposite next year or the following season.
Now, the number one winner, Shane, we kind of hit on this already, Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah.
It's not displaying for me here. But anyway.
Don't even need it. Oh, there
we go. There we go. There was delay here. I guess I ain't paid the internet bill yet. But I mean, right out the gate, first four easy wins, right?
Yeah.
And then in conference play, I mean, my goodness, Shane, again, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Mississippi State all at home. Mm-hmm. The road games, South Carolina, LSU, Arkansas, Florida. I love this schedule for Ole Miss. I think it sets up for a 4-0 start. You could take care of Kentucky at home and South Carolina on the road. You should be 6-0 going into that huge LSU showdown.
Yeah,
I mean this is the off season of Ole Miss. I feel like
it really is, and you got, like you said, you got Georgia at home. And for the audio listeners, you know, reminder, they got Furman, MTSU, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern right out of the gate.
Yeah,
that is a very, very winnable month. Get the feet wet. Get this party started, because they're not only going to win, Mike, they're going to put up a damn ton of points. You know what I'm saying? They're going to start the Heisman train down there. And then you got South Carolina, Kentucky, South Carolina. LSU is a very, very winnable game. October 12th. It's your toughest road game. And then I'm looking at Georgia. Like, even if you lose to LSU and Georgia, Ole Miss is still in the top 12, I think, Mike, depending on how those boys play. But that's the kind of season that the SEC is going to bring us. And Ole Miss, man, they hit a home run here.
And I believe, Shane, we'll get to Georgia's schedule in just a second, but I believe that Ole Miss game, that'll be mm-hmm. seven SEC games in 7 weeks or seven SEC in a row for Georgia when they come to Oxford. So it ain't going to be easy. You know what?
Well, I just noticed, too, you start out with four non-conference, and then you go straight SEC the rest of the way. So even the easiest schedule looks daunting.
All right, here, how about number five? Now, these are the losers, I feel like, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State. I hate this start for Jeff Lebby. I mean, they should beat the brakes off Eastern Kentucky. Week two on the road at Arizona State's going to be tough just because it's, you know, everything's new. You know what I mean? If this was year two, year three of the Jeff Lebby era, we'd beat the hell out of Arizona State. And we may beat them this year. But that's going to be a tricky one. Toledo at home, Florida at home. But here's where they really killed you. Texas on the road, Georgia on the road. Then you get A&M at home, Arkansas at home, UMass at home, Tennessee on the road, Mizzou at home, and Ole Miss on the road. Those final eight, Shane, I'm only seeing one, maybe two, that are guaranteed wins. And that doesn't mean they're going to lose a ball.
Yeah.
But it's a tough slate for Jeff Lebby right out to start his career there.
Yeah, maybe not just win, but at least be favorites, you know.
Right.
I'm right there with you, Mike. This is that Arizona State, that one's, you know, we don't know. That's the one game you always like to pencil in as an easy victory in the offseason, but then you're staring down the barrel of a third quarter and it's like a 2-point game, you know. You never know. The Florida Gators, you got to realize that the Florida Gators have got a tough schedule, which I'm sure it's going to be on your list here in a second. But this is one of those games that you're going to get the best of the Florida because they realize every opportunity that they have. I mean, it's going to be slim. You know what I'm saying? And this is a game they have to have. So, what a schedule, man. I'm looking at this and imagining these football games, brother. Mississippi State's got their hands full.
Yeah, how about this comment on YouTube, Shane, from Robert? Geez, every time I turn on YouTube, you two are staring back at me. Are you married? You got kids? I mean, I think Robert is concerned for our well-being here, but no, we're just trying to deliver the best SEC content we can, yeah. Robert. I didn't know that was a crime.
My family keeps asking me, don't you have another emergency pod you got to jump on or something? Isn't there another playoff or a schedule release?
So they're pushing you to do more, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. She's coming up with new shows to do. Like, you know what you should do? As long as it doesn't involve you over here. Get the hell out of this house.
All right, how about number four, Shane? Number four loser, Alabama, Shane. And again, I get it. They're going to be favored in damn near all these, if not all of them. They may be favored in all of them, Shane. But I can't get over the fact that I'm sitting here looking at this schedule, at Western Kentucky and South Florida right out the gate. Easy wins. I get it. But then at Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Georgia at home, at Vandy, South Carolina at home, at Tennessee, Mizzou at home, at LSU, Mercer at home, at Oklahoma, and then Auburn at home. I mean, starting from Wisconsin to Auburn, I think you could make the case damn near every other game is like a serious test. And this is the first, and that's no slight to Alabama, but I'm just saying, like, if they show up with their B game against Georgia,
yeah,
you could lose. You do that again at Tennessee, you lose.
Yeah.
Missouri at home, if they're still red hot, you can lose. At LSU, at Oklahoma. I mean, all these games are losable. And this is the first time in my life that I can remember an Alabama schedule looking like this.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And I think Nick Saban's blood pressure was through the roof when he saw it for the first time. You know what I'm saying? He did not like this. He did not want to expand. This is why, because you got to play more teams like this.
Right.
But I will say the silver lining here for Bama is they can win all these games. You know what I'm saying? Alabama can run the board and imagine going undefeated with that schedule. And if, to make it nice, at least they gave them a bye between Wisconsin and Georgia and, of course, the annual bye before the LSU game,
right.
I think, between Mizzou. The road matchups that they have are going to be daunting, but, man, if anybody can handle it, it would be the Tide.
Right. Number three, Shane, Georgia, and that just gives you an idea of how ridiculous some of these schedules are. Maybe you could even make the case Georgia number two. You get Clemson in the opener in Atlanta, Tennessee Tech at home, at Kentucky, at Alabama, Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home, at Texas, Florida and Jacksonville, at Ole Miss, which I think is going to be top 10. Tennessee at home, UMass at home, Georgia Tech at home. The thing that's saving it for me, Shane, is outside of Clemson, some easy non-conference matchups.
Yeah.
But this road slate, my goodness, Shane. And again, I get it. Kentucky, you know, some people are going to mock that. But until this season, I mean, Kentucky seems to play Georgia as well as anybody out of the old East Division. You know what?
Yeah, this is going to be a doozy as well. I mean, seeing some of these you're talking not too long ago, potential national championship teams here, Clemson, Alabama's, Texas, you know, the Florida, even Tennessee. I mean, this is a damn, you know, for all the crap we gave them at Georgia, especially this year, that they have not played anybody, they definitely overcorrected this next season, because if you've got tickets, if you're a season ticket holder, brother, this is the season that you're going to remember the most, because this was the year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is the year that if you make it through this and make it through the college football playoff, you will be galvanized and ready for anything and everybody. You will not overlook anyone, because you couldn't afford to overlook anybody during the season.
And how about shout out Joe Barker? Shane gave us $20. Can I get a War Eagle? War Eagle! I'm updating my list. Shane, Auburn's the number one easy schedule, number one winner. I do like this. I love this schedule though for Auburn. I mean, yeah. First five at home: Alabama, A&M, Cal, New Mexico, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. You could convince me they're gonna be 5-0.
Yeah,
if they take a year two leap now. At Georgia, at Mizzou, at Kentucky, that's a little bit different story. But Vandy, ULM, Texas A&M, all winnable there at home before getting to Alabama. That's, I think, Auburn. I mean, 8-4, I think, is the floor.
Yeah.
If not 9-3 next season. I think Auburn takes a big jump.
Mike, I think there's a handful of teams that really could benefit from a lot of home games, and Auburn's one of them. Starting the season with five home games, you know, with your fans. You saw how Jordan Hare was this year against Georgia. You saw how they were against any powerhouse that rolled in there, kind of got equalized a little bit just because of that crowd noise. That's a very tough environment, and them boys lucked out with this schedule, in my opinion.
Right. So let's go back to, remember, again, Auburn, number one winner, thanks to Joe. We're going back to the losers. Number two loser, Shed, I think, is LSU.
Yeah.
Because you got Southern Cal right out the gate in Vegas. You got, I think, going on the road in conference for your first conference game is always difficult.
Yeah.
We don't know the kickoff time yet for South Carolina, but if it's a night game, good luck to the new quarterback. You know what I mean? That's going to be his first true road test at South Carolina. We're going to get to them in a minute. They're cleaning up in the portal. UCLA at home. And the tricky thing there, Shane, I think, you know, moving on from Nichols, I mean, that's a pick-your-score type game. But those first three
mm-hmm. –
I think LSU fans expect you to win all of them.
Yeah.
So what that means is if you lose one, all of a sudden, I think you're facing some tough questions there in Baton Rouge. So that I don't like. Ole Miss, South Alabama and Ole Miss next at home. Arkansas and A&M on the road. Bama at home. Yeah. At Florida. Vandy and Oklahoma to close us out. This is a very difficult – I mean, the first four, the last four – minus Vanderbilt. I mean, this is almost as tough as it gets in the SEC.
Yeah, it is. And I'm sure Coach Kelly would love to have, an easy game to tee off week one. You know, bouncing back with Florida State, that's what's giving them the black eye. It's just a rough start. People remember. Everybody's going to be watching this game.
Yeah.
And they're not going to care about September 7th when you're playing Nichols or even South Carolina, because they're starting to tune into their teams. But they will remember when you played USC, and if you drop them, they're another just an LSU team that's good but not great.
And I'll make a vow now, Shane. I will never – pick a team to win the national championship that loses week one. Now that's a promise I'm making to the audience. I did it last year. I'll never do it again. That still burns me, you know?
Oh, but again, don't forget that it ends with Oklahoma. So yeah. You thought LSU Bama was like the highlight of their season. No, we got Oklahoma at the tail end. Apparently going to be a serious rivalry.
All right, this is the biggest loser, Shane. I mean, I don't even have to tell you. You already know who it is, don't you?
Yeah.
The Florida Gators. Oh, man. I swear, it's like they want Billy gone already.
Jeez.
Miami opened the season. Samford, Texas A&M. At least you get them all at home. So maybe we pick up some momentum on the road at Mississippi State, at home for Central Florida, at Tennessee, Kentucky at home, Georgia in Jacksonville, at Texas. LSU at home, Ole Miss at home, and then Florida State on the road to close it out. And I've heard people say, Shane, I mean, from November 2nd on, you're basically playing potential playoff teams. and I mean, that's not even an exaggeration. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if Kentucky does really well, you know, and they own you right now, that ain't easy. And Tennessee, you know, we expect them to be better. I mean, these final seven games.
Yeah.
Here's the nicest way I can say this, Shane. Florida could be a lot better, more improved team than they are now.
Yeah.
And they could still lose their last seven.
Yeah.
You know, and that wouldn't even surprise me.
No, I'm telling you, nobody's going to have the patience for that, Mike. You know, right. That's what sucks. It's like, if you really think this Billy project's going to work, you got to buy all the way in. And even this year, you know, playing the way they did against Mizzou, playing the way they did against Florida State, they didn't win those games, but man, they had opportunities to win it. And I don't think you could say that at the start of the season. I really do feel like that team progressed. Yeah. They've got talent. They're acquiring talent. They've lost a little bit in the portal too, but you know, you lose all that momentum if you start out the season, you know, 4-5-0, and then starting Tennessee on, you're an underdog in all those games and potentially lose them. I mean, if you lose seven games in a row or six out of your last seven, you know, because, you know, I'm never going to say Florida can't beat Tennessee because sure as shit they will. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying at the end of the season, they're going to fire him because of how he finished the year.
How about Michael Riley, Shane? We're number one. We haven't been number one in anything since 2009. So at least you got that, Florida fans. Oh. At least you got
but
that.
But, hey, what if? I mean, what if? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they can't. I know you're looking at this guy. Hey, let me bring it back in play here. I don't know if you're going to put any more up. But I'm just saying, if you could come in and – put away a Tennessee team, knock off an A&M early, you know, pull off an upset with LSU or something like that. I LSU, they have an opportunity to win fandom back. You know what I'm saying? Billy has an opportunity to secure his job. Yeah. And one thing I did like is there's a lot of home games, pivotal home games, that if the Swamp gets behind them and they get rowdy down there, who knows? Florida, we may be looking back saying, you know, this is kind of like Mizzou. A lot of people doubted Mizzou last year, you know, or this year. I keep thinking we're on to the next season. But you know what I'm saying? A lot of people doubted them, saying they couldn't do it, and then they walked away with 10 wins. So that may be the same thing with the Florida Gators.
Well, Shane, the portal has been active. Are you ready to get into some portal updates, my friend?
Hell yeah, let's do it. Did well, we get somebody? Did Tennessee get one?
Not yet.
No, did we lose another?
we got some Tennessee info in here as
okay,
well, Shane. But
right.
The hottest team, and they got hit hard by the portal, Shane. Their fans were down in the dumps over the weekend. Well, they're back, baby. They're all back. South Carolina Gamecocks. They landed Rocket Sanders from Arkansas, led the SEC in rushing two seasons ago, dealt with a lot of injuries this season. If they can get him back to form, you know, Mario Anderson jumped in the portal himself, so they really needed some help via the portal. Rocket Sanders, that's a huge addition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. To go from no running back to arguably the best running back, I think you had a home run here.
Yeah, and then
that's about, before Mario. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Starting the season,
right,
we had no running back. So
they also added Vanderbilt receiver Jaden McGowan, Shane, who he had over 80 catches and averaged over 10 yards per reception the last two seasons at Vanderbilt. He only played for two seasons. He was a sophomore, and I thought he was the most dynamic playmaker they had at Vanderbilt. And if anybody's snickering, I mean, go watch Vanderbilt. I mean, I realized they were not good, but they had some playmakers, Shane. And I thought Jaden McGowan was the best of the bunch. Now he's a South Carolina Gamecock.
Absolutely. Just turn on the first game, Hawaii. You know, that'll tell you.
Yeah.
Most dynamic player. You know, I was called that in high school too, Mike. You know?
But, hey, you're right. They needed more depth at running back, Shane.
Yeah.
They added North Texas running back Oscar Adawe. He had 738 rushing yards, 6 yards per carry, and six touchdowns. So you get a little bit more added depth there. Mm-hmm. They added another receiver, Shane, from Coastal Carolina, Jared Brown. He had over 1,000 combined yards, 740 receiving, 252 rushing, and four touchdowns. And then they added a Pitt defensive lineman, DeAndre Jules, who started six games, played in every game last season for Pitt. So South Carolina's, they've attacked that portal and really added some depth where they needed it at key positions.
I love it, man. Beamer hasn't slept, man. He's in a new town every night sending pictures, you know what I'm saying? He don't know where he's at. He just knows he's bringing home another recruit.
Yeah, it's staying, well, I was about to say the East. There is no more East, Shane, but an old East rival, Kentucky.
Yeah.
They have needed some help at receiver, Shane. They got North Texas receiver Jamori Macklin. Yeah. He used to be at Missouri, and his I think it was his brother and maybe his uncle, Jeremy Macklin.
Yeah.
Or this may have even be his brother. I don't know. But he had over 1,000 yards last year at North Texas. He was considered by many to be the top receiver in the portal. Now he's at Kentucky. They also added Ohio State backup running back Chip Treanum. I don't know. I butchered that name, I'm sure. But he had over 350 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns last season. And that's all they do at Kentucky is add these guys out of the portal and get production out of them.
Yeah, that kid's getting a nickname real quick from us, Mike.
Just call him Chip. You know, oh, I can remember Chip, that. Yeah.
Didn't they get another quarterback, too? I thought I saw.
They got Brock Vandegrift.
No, I thought they got another one. For some reason, I thought maybe the listeners can.
Maybe they're just getting all the quarterbacks there down there.
That's you know smart what? Play. Just take all the quarterbacks out of the portal. You know, that's smart. I like it. Yeah.
And then how about this Mississippi State, Shane? They added North Texas offensive lineman Ethan Miner. And why that's so big, Shane? They beat out Arkansas for him. So they all hate Cody Kennedy, the offensive line coach. Now he's at Mississippi State. Now he's stealing recruits from them. I mean, they must hate him even more. You know what?
Oh, man. No Christmas card from him, huh?
Nope. Ole Miss landed former Oklahoma defensive back Key Lawrence, Southern Miss offensive lineman Jaquan Scott, and Indiana defensive back Lewis Moore. And they are in it deep, Shane. They've not signed any of these other guys yet, but Juice Wells, Walter Nolan, Princely from Florida, who was their top pass rusher last year. I mean, they are going heavy, heavy, heavy on the portal at Ole Miss. And if they get some of these big-time players, it's going to be a special season down there in Oxford. You know what?
Buddy, I'm telling you, they're right there at it, too. And that would be huge. Talk about momentum. I thought they were kind of producing that with all these kids saying they're coming back. And now you're starting to pick up that portal momentum, too.
Yep. And then, Oklahoma, Shane, they're SEC now. So they added Purdue receiver Deion Burks, who had 47 catches, 629 yards, and 7 touchdowns. But maybe more importantly, Shane, they lost a starter on the offensive line, Caden Green. And all speculation is he's headed to Mizzou. That's not official yet. But, you know, he's one where he went in the portal, they're saying, this tampering has got to stop. He's one of our best players. He's going to stay in the conference. I say, welcome to the SEC, Oklahoma. You know, we play dirty down here. You know what?
That's right. That's right. What kind of glasses Drink going to be wearing after he lands this one? You know, I bet he'll come out Jordans, you know?
And then Texas, Shane, I hate this story, but their backup quarterback, Malik Murphy, he's jumped in the portal. Yeah. Not that I hate him getting in the portal because he needs an opportunity to play. I get it. And they have Ewers. They got Arch Manning. But apparently he had to get in the portal because, you know, these other teams are trying to land a quarterback.
Yeah.
He wanted to stay through the playoff, through the national championship. I mean, he started 2 games this year. They may need him.
Right.
But he's got to line up his next spot. But so due to the calendar, he kind of was forced his hand. But interestingly, Shane, Malik Murphy is his name, 477 passing yards this year. Again, he beat Kansas State, beat BYU. He is getting attention, Shane, from Georgia, which lead many to think, Carson Beck, is he thinking about going to the NFL? I don't know, but Malik Murphy, he's kind of a Joe Milton build, 6'5", 238 pounds. And if Sarkisian believed in him, then you know he's probably one hell of a quarterback.
Yeah.
But that's one to keep your eye on. He may be staying in the SEC. And another place, and I have not heard this yet, but I think he'd be a great fit down at Auburn, a little Cam Newton type player.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, because I thought because if you're in the college football playoff, you got an extra 5 days, I thought, for this transfer portal. Are you just saying – because everyone's starting to secure quarterback roles, that's best for his interest to get in there now.
Right, right. So let's just say, again, I don't know that he's going to Texas, or excuse me, Georgia, but he could stay at Texas and then, you know, utilize the portal after the playoff and all that. But Georgia's probably not going to wait around.
Yeah.
That's the point where, and it may not be Georgia, maybe it's Auburn, maybe it's, I don't know who, but whoever it is, they're not going to wait till mid-January, early February. They want a quarterback now. Yeah. Because we also got the early signing period coming up, so it's an issue with the schedule and everything kind of slamming together all at once here in mid December. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get that now. That makes sense.
Yeah, and then how about this, Shane? So this is not guys leaving school, not leaving to go to the portal or anything, but Tennessee. So big news here in recent days, Shane. Starting here on Thursday, Omari Thomas, outstanding defensive lineman, said, "Hey, I'm coming back, baby." And joining him, Shane, both offensive tackles, John Campbell and Gerald Mincy.
Yeah.
Linebacker Keenan Pilley, who missed most of the season with injury. He is also coming back. He's got NFL hopes. He's a great player. Still no word yet on Cooper Mays, but it sounds like he could come back. Tennessee may be loaded on that line of scrimmage, Shane. You got to love that.
Absolutely, man. With a young quarterback, I would love more experience up front. So this is important. You know, and one thing about Cooper, you know, he did not want to participate in the senior events. And that's one thing that you mentioned. And the rumor was he's coming back. But that would be a big one for Tennessee Vols for sure.
Absolutely. And also coming back, Shane, for A&M, Bryce Anderson and Cam Dunbury, the offensive lineman, both starters, two great players. Yeah. And I wanted to throw – I mentioned this on another pod, Shane, but you weren't here for that day. Texas A&M has hired – it's not often we talk strength and conditioning coaches, Shane, but they hired –
not on this show.
seriously. We need to reach out to this guy, give us a regimen here or something. But Tommy Moffitt, who was at LSU, Shane, Saban hired him. He stayed on through Les Miles and Coach O. He's got three national championships. This is the guy I've heard, Jacob Hester, T-Bob Hebert, many, many, many others credit this guy, Tommy Moffitt, for being critical to LSU's three-time national championship run over the last two decades. He is now at Texas A&M, hired by Mike Elko to run the strength and conditioning. And again, these strength and conditioning hires, you know, everybody's, they're lifting better than they ever have. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's an old cliche, but when someone's been doing it in this conference for 20 years and all these, you know, great players are saying he was the key to the whole damn thing. I think that's a huge pickup for A&M. I really do.
I do too, man. And like you said, we don't talk a lot of strength and conditioning on this show clearly, but when you do have a short list of names of the best in the business, this is one toward the top that keeps popping up. So this is a big get. And this is something that people point at later in the season when you start seeing some of those repeat injuries, you know. I mean, think about it. When's the last time A&M went a full season with a fresh quarterback, you know? The strength and conditioning is more than just lifting weights. It's keeping these boys on the field. So big get here.
And, again, I don't want to make any assumptions here, Shane, but since he's left, I don't know. I feel like a little bit of that toughness, that edge, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, has been missing from LSU the last 2 years. I don't know if it's related, but I don't know. I think A&M's going to get a hell of a lot tougher with this addition. You know what?
Absolutely, man. That's what they need. That's what they're going to be. They're going to be physical. They're going to be big physical on defense, and they're going to be finesse and speed on offense, brother. So this is a new A&M. It's a new group.
And I love this last one here, Shane, before we get to the mailbag. Alabama, according to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, they have just hired former Michigan linebacker coach George Hilo. He spent the last couple of seasons at Michigan. And, who are they playing in the Rose Bowl, Shane? Well, they want to know what signals they got, what they stole off Alabama. I mean, I think this is they may fire this guy right after the Rose Bowl. It won't matter. I think they get to pick his brain for a couple weeks before the playoff game. This is just the latest in a long line of genius moves by Nick Saban. You almost had to hire someone from Michigan to pick his brain, don't you think?
I love it. We don't cheat. We just pay for it. You know, it's like, we'll let them cheat. We'll just get the information. It's nothing. Throw money at it. We got Miss Terry's foundation, you know?
Exactly. All right, Shane, hey, before we get to the mailbag, just want to remind the listeners real quick, we are brought to you by MyBookie Online Sportsbook. Head on over to mybookie.ag today. Put in that promo code THATSEC over at MyBookie, Shane, and they're willing to give our audience a $200 cash bonus today. Bet on these bowl games. Bet on NFL. NBA's in action now. All the sports, they got you covered over at MyBookie Online Sportsbook with that promo code THATSEC. Fade the professor. He's back on a cool streak. We don't have to trust his picks anymore. You know what?
No, man. I'm back to the loser side. You know what I'm saying? I got to get my Grim Reaper photos out ready for these bowl games coming up.
We're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Don't forget the Prize Picks. Daily Fantasy Sports, the go-to site for Daily Fantasy Sports, is none other than Prize Picks. And with that promo code SEC, they are willing to match your initial deposit up to $100. So you can have $200 in your Prize Picks account today with that promo code SEC. Help the podcast stay independent. I know football's winding down, but there's still lots of football action to get in on before it all comes to a sad, depressing end. Head on over to Prize Picks, promo code SEC, and that SEC over at mybookie.ag today. We don't ask for much. We just ask, take advantage of these sponsorship opportunities if you can afford to do it. Are you ready to elevate your college football game day experience? Check out Twisted Tea, your go-to game beverage for college football fans. Twisted Tea is unlike any hard beverage you've had before. It's made with real brewed tea and packs a flavorful punch, 5% alcohol, and no carbonation, delivering the perfect balance of taste and refreshment that goes down smooth for every game day occasion. No need to settle for the usual. Twisted Tea turns up any occasion, especially when you're cheering on your favorite SEC team. Twisted Tea, the drink that fuels fun and celebrates your love of college football. Keep it twisted. The podcast is also brought to you by Game Time. Head on over to gametime.co. and use promo code THATSEC, THATSEC, for $20 off your first purchase. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. Game Time is the place for the last minute ticket sales. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Head on over to gametime.co. Snag tickets without the stress. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THATSEC for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem THATSEC for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And now back to the show. All right, you ready for some mailbag questions?
Yeah, brother? Man, let's do it.
All right, how about this one from Stan Ross on Twitter, Shane? This is a popular question right now. What is the tiebreaker rules for the SEC next season? Because there's no divisions, remember. So it's number one in the SEC versus number two in the SEC.
Yeah.
That's who will meet in Atlanta for the SEC championship game. And to my knowledge, they have not officially released any tiebreakers, but it's going to be based on conference record. So I think I explained this kind of poorly on the last one, Shane. If let's say you go 10-2, let's say you're LSU next year.
Yeah.
You're playing Southern Cal, you're playing UCLA. I know it's unlikely, but let's say you lose both of those, but you win all the rest of your games. So you're 10-2, you're 8-0 in the SEC. Alabama goes 11-1, Georgia goes 11-1, but they each lose a conference game. LSU, even though they're worse overall record, better conference record, would go to the SEC championship over an Alabama and a Georgia. So tiebreakers, I'm sure it's going to be head-to-head, common opponents, things of that nature. But that, to my knowledge, has not been officially released. And this is the only problem with going to a no-division format, Shane, because the Big 12 did it this year.
Yeah.
And going into the last week, their tiebreaker thing was like asinine. It was like three paragraphs of, well, if this happens, if that happens, if this team loses, this team wins. So it could get kind of wacky, but I think the point of it, Shane, is we won't get to like we have been in years past where it's like November 1st and Alabama and Georgia have already locked up the East and the West.
Yeah.
And the final month of the season is, I don't want to say irrelevant, but we already know who's meeting for the championship.
Yeah.
We will not be having that, I can almost guarantee you, in this new format.
Yeah, and I think as far as the tiebreaker, I mean, that sounds boring. I think what they should do is send, like, the biggest, baddest dude on Team A, the biggest, baddest dude on Team B, and meet in the middle and do, like, you ever, growing up, we had a thing, we called it the blood box, and it was just, you know, you got four dummies and you laid around, and basically your job is to find leverage and push that guy out, you know, and it always came down to the biggest, baddest dudes on the team, and I think that's what we should have, some sort of event, you know, think how many, I mean, how many people would be watching this thing? You know, it's like two gladiators going at it. So, but no, we'll read paragraphs and figure out who weasels in there.
Now, how about this question from Slim on YouTube, Shane? It's not either one of us asking this
question. My nickname
in
high school.
Will there be an FSU-like situation next season for the SEC championship? And I think what he's meaning is, you know, maybe someone goes undefeated and then they just start complaining endlessly that they didn't get to go. And I say no, Shane, and I'll tell you why. Because this is something to think about, and it goes in line with our next question. But I think there's going to be so many teams every year from the SEC that make the college football playoff.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad to even say this, but I think this is the reality. I don't know if it's going to be a major advantage to go to the SEC championship if you're already, you know, a top 10 team that's going to go to the playoff.
Yeah.
Because it's just an extra game. And you want to win the SEC, I get it. Maybe that gets you a bye game or a home game or something like that. But I would almost rather not go to the SEC championship. Go right on to the college football playoff. You don't risk the injury. One less game on your players' bodies. So those teams that are already knocking on the door of the playoff, I think they're going to be fine not going to the SEC championship. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think that would be ideal, not playing that game. And I get it. It loses its luster if you're not in there. But like you said earlier, I think toward the tail end, if we're looking late November, all of those games are now important. You like you said, there's not teams that are just penciled their way into a college football playoffs. They can't afford to lose.
Right.
You know, there's going to be a lot of two-loss teams that may need an SEC championship win to get in, or God forbid, a three-loss, you know, or something like that. So SEC champ will never get lost out. So I know we kind of ventured off the question here, but and I don't even know if I'm answering it right, but whatever team wins the SEC is going in. That's going to be given. But I don't think that there will be an undefeated ACC team left out again because, you know, I think part of this is having those Power 5 conferences have one opponent in, you know, in the bracket there.
Right, and that kind of goes in line with our next question from GoHogs92 on YouTube, Shane. How many SEC teams do we think will make the playoff next year? And obviously, it's tough to say without, you know, seeing the field and knowing which teams elevate and fall and whatnot. But
yeah,
I'm confident saying at least four, and I think it's closer to five, maybe even six. Wouldn't it be nice, Shane, 12-team playoff at half the fields, SEC every year? I don't think that's realistic every year, but I think it will happen from time to time. And I think four is almost three to four is almost a given every year.
Every year. I'm with you, and I'm leaning a little more toward four. But there will be those years where maybe we just keep beating on each other, you know, and we have a couple of two-loss teams, and we're sitting there saying, well, you know, this guy got beat by a top five and a top eight. He needs to be in there. So I think that there could be a real scenario that we may hit five, even six, but definitely three to four is a given.
Right. And then, Shane, I knew this was coming. As soon as we get the schedule, Shane, I mean, you got your fans that are, you know, you're sitting there looking at it like, oh, yeah, we can go 10-2, 11-1 easy. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, we've already heard, what week will Billy Napier be fired? Now we're getting questions. I'm going to throw up Arkansas' schedule here. They want to know, hey, if Sam Pittman goes 2-3, is he getting fired? That's by Bryce Carter here on Twitter. So let's run down real quick. 2-3, it's Arkansas Pine Bluff is week one. So there's your win.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're thinking Oklahoma State's a loss. So UAB win, at Auburn loss, and then A&M. So that would be your third. I guess that's, again, I'm just projecting what he's thinking here. But would they fire Sam Pittman? Again, I'll run through that one more time. You beat Arkansas Pine Bluff. You lose to Oklahoma State. You beat UAB. You lose to Auburn. You lose to A&M. Would they turn around and fire Sam Pittman right then and there with Tennessee and LSU on deck? I don't think they would. What do you think?
No, and I mean, we've seen a lot of coaches fired, in the SEC. So if I'm looking at this schedule, it's got to be a game that you did, blown out. You know what I'm saying? Like Tennessee's got to blow them out, or LSU's got to blow them out. Dropping another Mississippi State game. That's a team that Arkansas is expecting a win. That's got to happen. So there's scenarios galore here, but the teams haven't even settled yet. So I don't feel comfortable talking about Sam losing. I would rather talk about how Sam destroys the schedule, and gets an extension and ends up being the guy. But I mean, because you can make the same arguments if we sit here long enough.
Right. Yeah, we can fire and hire just about all these damn coaches. You know what?
After it's the holidays, man. You're trying to fire people. Yeah. Sam's got family. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be the Grinch. I want to be like the elf. Just help them out a little bit.
I'd rather be sitting here saying, Shane, when they go 5-0 to start, who's he getting fired? What other teams is he going to get them to fire their coach? You know what I mean?
Yeah, are we going to lose Bobby, because they had such a great season? Where's he going to coach next year,
Yep. All right, final one here, Shane. I saved this one just for last, just for you, because I know you're going to love this. And I'll let you go as long as you want, because you may never stop here. But Lucid Dream 07 on YouTube, what's a typical breakfast for Cousin Shane?
A typical breakfast. I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm not a huge breakfast guy. Yeah. But
how about favorite breakfast then?
Well, how about the breakfast I ate 2 days ago? Okay, here's what I had. So the wife, she was like, she's like, where do you want to go? And we kind of argue. When my wife asked where we want to eat, and I don't know if your significant other's like this, but it's usually like, I know which one she doesn't want. Like, I know we're not having Chinese because I love Chinese. She hates it. And then every now and then I know I could shoot for a Mexican restaurant, but she's not feeling it. I'm not going to do it. So we do like this cancellation thing, so she'll say this, I'll say that. And so we got to this point where arguing, I said, damn it, let's go to Waffle House. She goes, all right, I'll go to Waffle House. So I went in there. Obviously, this is the middle of the day, and it's not a typical breakfast meal, but Waffle House, and I'm not a spokesperson, they don't pay us any money for this. They got this Philly.
We're open to it, though.
Yeah. I mean, sit back, I'll tell you. They got this Philly hash brown thing going on. Ooh. That is to die for, brother. It's a Philly hash brown bowl, mm-hmm. So it's like hash browns, Philly cheese steak or Philly steak with onions and stuff. Brother, come on now. And then of course I have to get a pecan waffle, because you got to have a little dessert, a little sweet side. So to bounce out all that salt. So I wonder why I'm fat, Mike. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Waffle House gets a bad rap. I'm usually only drunk or hungover when I was in there growing up, but now that I'm an old man, it was kind of fun going in there, being the only couple playing music on the thing there, jukebox. Turn that damn jukebox up.
Yeah, I can be honest with you, Shane. I don't know if I've ever been sober inside a Waffle House, but I have had a couple good times in those. You know what?
I'm not sure the employees were, to be honest with you, Mike. They kept going to the back quite a bit. So, as long as they went for special seasoning, we're all right.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, Again, this is going to sound weird, Shane, because I love donuts more than anything in life.
Yeah.
But I don't like them for breakfast, if that makes sense. I mean, yeah. I mean, with a coffee, they're fantastic. I get it. But if I try to eat that as a meal, I get like sick to my stomach. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have just like some scrambled eggs or something, get something in my system, and then I can down, you know, half a dozen donuts, but like a couple hours later with a cup of coffee. That's my go-to.
Yeah. No, I do like breakfast. Now, there's different kinds, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like 6 egg whites and turkey. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do none of that. Little spinach on the side.
I was about to say, you damn liar.
Gets and gravy are great, too, but you got to be real careful where you go. Some people just can't make it, you know? But if you got a good place that makes good biscuits and gravy, yeah, I'll settle up for that as well.
BD says, I can see Shane's eyeballs popping out of the sockets talking about that hash brown.
Oh man, I couldn't believe it, brother. When it came over, I was like, man, and it's only $10. Again, I don't work there. It's $10, you know what I'm saying? Oh, they even let me bring my own drink in, you know? I'm not a tightwad, but I wanted to finish it.
Carl's right here with it. Biscuits and sausage gravy, that's the best.
Yeah.
Have you ever had, I bet you've never had Whataburger breakfast. I know I haven't. You probably never even had a Whataburger.
No, this is a Texas thing, right?
Yeah, well, they got it here in Nashville now. They just opened one. How about Sandman? He's saying honey butter chicken biscuit. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, if I'm going chicken biscuit, give me Bojangles Cajun filet. That's my go-to. Yeah. Now, my wife, she likes them chicken minis there at the Chick-fil-A. And if I go there, I will get the regular with pepper jack cheese, regular chicken biscuit. But, yeah, I can get behind some chicken biscuits now.
Yeah, and I'll leave you with this one, Shane. I bet you've never done this, but at Chick-fil-A, obviously, most people go for the chicken, which, very good. But they have a breakfast sausage, and it's a curveball because you're like, hey, I'm at a chicken place. Why would I get the sausage? It's the best breakfast sausage I've ever had in my life. So next time you're at Chick-fil-A, breakfast time, get you that sausage. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And they are not a sponsor either. Not yet, anyway.
No.
Too much cussing for them.
Well, yeah, I'll hit one more on the way out. Pals Cheddar Rounds, they need to figure a way to make this a staple at all of their meals, not just for breakfast. Because I'm not a big fan of their breakfast, but them Cheddar Rounds, you want to feel fat, Mike? Go to 2 fast food restaurants. Get a chicken biscuit at Bojangles. Go get you some Cheddar Rounds at Pals. Then go home and cry to Pillow because you're a fat ass.
Well, Shane, you know it's the off season. We talk breakfast for 10 minutes, but we better get off here before we go all night long talking about the breakfast menu.
Let's go eat.
You got anything else before we hop off the line?
No. Keep your ears to the ground. Still got a wild weekend up ahead. Tune in Sunday, 7:00. We'll be going live. Yep. Look forward to seeing everybody there. This live, you can see we're constantly changing. We're trying to make it a better product for you guys. And a lot of you like this interaction. So we're going to try to keep rolling with that, man. And I enjoy it just listening to you guys talk.
Yeah, and if anything happens during the weekend, anything that warrants a emergency podcast, surprise podcast, what have you, I'll jump on here. I'll be available. I ain't got anywhere. I don't got a life, Shane. So I'll be here all weekend long in case anything happens. But if not, we'll see you Sunday, 7:00 Eastern, 6 Central. I do appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out, and you, Cousin Shane, for hanging out as always. That's going to do it for this episode of the show. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.